We also bring you greetings in the name of Jesus. We're again thankful to be in the house of God. This morning, I am empty. So maybe I should depend on y'all. Well, it depends what we're talking about. I mean, Henry prayed that speaking would come easy. And I'm sure that the church has prayed for me. I feel that way. I feel your prayers. So why would I be empty? There again, it does depend what we're talking about. What about being empty of emptiness? When someone is empty, it feels like there's nothing there. But if we're talking about being empty of emptiness, then wouldn't that make you full? I think it does. Because if you have no emptiness in you, you have something there. And the title for the message this morning is Full or Empty? And that is a question for all of us. Are you full or empty? And Henry talked about Bill Nye. And it really stood out to me about an empty life. And when they talked about, can intelligence come from matter? How does intelligence come from matter? And when Bill was asked the question, he said, I don't know. This is a great mystery. And it will remain a great mystery for him. But to me, it's almost like desperately trying to find a church house when you're in it. That's how it is for these people who are just all about science and nothing about God. They're desperately trying to find a church house, and they're in it. But they refuse to find it. And like he says, joyfully going around trying to find something, and they're enveloped with it. They're inside it, and they just can't find it. I'd like to turn to Luke in chapter 11. And by the way, if somebody wouldn't mind bringing a glass of water, it would be nice. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 24, he says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and finding none, he saith, I will return unto my house whence I came out. And when he cometh, he findeth it swept and garnished. And in Matthew it says that he findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Then goeth he and taketh to him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. So the spirit, when Jesus was casting out these evil spirits, and they would go out and wander around, and they would think, you know, the place where we had it pretty nice. We're going to go back there and see if there's room for me. See if there's something there. And then when they come back and they find it completely empty, and it's swept and garnished, it's just like, it was all the dirt was swept out and all the rooms were cleaned and everything was like that, ready for new occupancy. And then they found it empty, and so they went in there. And then he took seven others with him, or six others, seven total, or however it was there. And then the last state of that man is worse than the first. So the question this morning is, do you find yourself empty, or are you full? Where do you find yourself? And you know, if you have an empty glass, and you say it's empty, what is the best way to get the air out of the glass? You know, the answer is to fill it with water. That's the best way to get the air out of the glass. And so if you find yourself empty, we need to understand that we need the water of life to take the emptiness out and to fill us up. And the water of life, the Word of God, that is what is needed. In going to the first part of chapter 11, it says, verse 1, and it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Do you think that this disciple who asked this question or asked Jesus to teach him to pray felt an emptiness? Like he did. He felt that there was a lack. Lord, teach us to pray. And then Jesus taught them. When ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. Give us this day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So we see here it brought out the fullness of God. It brings out that with God is bread. If we need to have to be filled, he has the bread of life. And then he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves because I'm empty. I don't have anything in my house. And there are people coming to visit me and I don't have any food there. I'm empty. So he goes to someone that is full. And he said within, in verse 7, shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. He's talking here about the goodness of God and how God is able to fill someone that's empty. He just says, if you're empty, seek and you will find what you're looking for. Thank you, brother. You will find what you're looking for. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. It's that simple. I was just thinking, you know, Bill Nye's situation. If he would just seek the right thing, if he would knock, the door would be opened unto him. And maybe it spoke a little to him, some of the things that Ken told him. I don't know. But to me, it was such a picture of an empty life, of someone who felt full with his feelings. But because of the lack in the mind, it's such an empty life. And I have not a shred of doubt that the questions that he was asked, that he says, I don't know. It's a great mystery. All those questions will never be answered unless Jesus Christ comes in and into that mind and reprograms it. In the sign here, it says, doing good is the easiest way to get the most out of life. This would give us the picture of a life emptying itself out for the good of someone else. And the marvelous thing about that is how Jesus is. That if we have Jesus Christ within, we can empty ourselves out and he keeps on filling it. In fact, the crux of it is that it is only as you empty out that you can be full. That's how Christianity is. No, science does not understand it. Because if you go with the facts of science, then it would say that when you empty out, you're empty. That's the fact. But when you believe in Jesus Christ and you realize there's so many things about the kingdom, you know, to live, you have to die. And it is that in so many different areas. But for you to be full, you've got to become empty. And you've got to keep emptying yourself. And that's the only way to be full. Because when you have Jesus Christ in your heart, that's when you go and you give and you give and you give. In Ecclesiastes, he says in chapter 11, in verse 1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. I was thinking about that touching story in the bulletin of this little boy who was hungry and his stomach was empty, and this kind lady filled it. And later in life, she was empty and he filled her need. And it's so many times that we see this very thing happening, that when we cast our bread upon the water, after many days, it comes back and blesses you in so many ways. Give a portion to seven, also to eight, for thou knowest not what evil shall be upon the earth. If the clouds be full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if the tree fall toward the south or toward the north, in the place where the tree falleth, there it shall be. Brother Henry brought that out in our Sunday school class. And isn't it like we are asked to be clouds, where the clouds are going over the earth and they empty themselves out, and then how do they get more water? They form and they get more water loaded up and they empty themselves out. And look what it does to the earth. Look at all the fruit, the harvest that we have because of what the clouds are doing. And it's a picture of Christianity. It's what Christianity is doing across our land, where the word of God is preached and kind deeds are done because of lives that are full. Lives that are empty cannot do that. You cannot give what you do not have. That's what the Bible says. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. And by the way, in coming to the place where it says that the tree falls, that's where he's going to lie. At the end of this life, that is exactly how it's going to be. When you take your last breath, nothing will change after that. It's a decided matter. And in the direction that the tree falls, that's where he's going to lie. That tree is never going to get up again and fall in a different direction. You cannot redo life. You cannot come back from the dead and live your life again and redo something. It won't happen. We just have one life. And that is something that really speaks to me so much with the situation that we are in with Dorothy. We can't redo this. We can't become young again and not have a disease. We can't be young again and go through our courting days and have the joy that we had with, you know, how that first love was, the newness of that, and getting married and having children and, you know, all the joys that life brought us. We can't go back and do that again. That's over, it's gone. And all we have now is our present situation and going from there. And you know, if we just look at our situation in life, you know, you could feel empty. But when you get your eyes on Jesus and you realize how blessed you were, your eyes take on a new look, and your meaning has a new knowledge of what you really have, and you realize that you're really full. So when your circumstances seem to be empty, what does it take to be full? We know that with Jesus Christ, He is the one that fills us. He fills us with knowledge. He fills us with wisdom. And when we have those things, that is where we have a full life. We don't need to go on with an empty life. So the thing that I really ask the young people to look at is you can only do this once. Only once. You can never go back and be younger. Just like you were yesterday. You were younger than you are today. But you cannot step back there. You cannot take one step backward. Not one second. It's all moving you on to getting older and older. And someday you'll be my age if time goes on and God blesses you with life. Someday we may be grandpa's age or the older folks. You can never again then die and come back and be young again and do something somehow over. So what does your life consist today? Are you full with the knowledge of Jesus Christ and you are living after that way? Or are you going after a lot of other things that in actuality is empty and they are not fulfilling? What is your purpose in life? It is a question we need to ask ourselves, all of us, but especially young people. Because I think back to the days when I was young, carefree and happy. I wanted to have a good time, indulged in different things like that, that later became habit forming and didn't get me anywhere. It didn't satisfy. So what are we really doing with our time today? Because see, where the tree falls, that's where it's going to lie. It will not change. In verse 5, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb for of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God who maketh all. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. Truly the light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. But if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. In going back to Luke, what does your life look like? This was one some time ago, it was a year maybe or so, the youth were at our house and they played a game. We never played it when I was with the youth. But it was kind of interesting. I think it was called SWAT. This game they play that's called SWAT. And someone has this long newspaper thing and they try to SWAT each other. And it's like they're desperately trying to find a place to sit. They're trying to find an empty place. But, you know, and I saw several times when somebody was going for a certain empty place, just like that, it got filled just ahead of them, and there was no place. And it made me think, what is going on with the workers of darkness? What is going on with these spirits that are wandering around trying to find an empty place? And And they would like to get in there, and they're just looking for everything they can to get in there and occupy that empty place. Do you always have your empty place full of the things that are really important? Jesus Christ, if he is there, your place will always be full, and it will never be empty for something to get a foothold inside your life if you keep it full. The way to keep it full is to go here. There was this one couple one time who had circumstances a lot worse than my wife and I. A lot worse. And one of the preachers asked them, you know, how do you do that? How do you keep from becoming bitter and disoriented and just think that life is not fair and just think that you're cheated? How do you keep that from that? And the husband said, the way we do it, we have the Bible on our tape player. And we have, of course, the book in our home. And the way we did it is we filled ourselves with the Word of God. And when we filled ourselves with the Word of God, all the bitterness and all the other things just had to leave. It just squeezed it right out of our life. That was a good testimony. Also was thinking of the survival trip that some young men had taken in the last couple of weeks. And they found out how it was to be empty. And there was nothing to fill it. But that was the object of it. To go way back in the wilderness where there was nothing and see if you can survive. No cell phones, no food, nothing except hatchets and axes and bullets and guns and things like that. And we're going to go back there and we're going to survive. And there was a lot of planning and a lot of, you know, aspirations and what's going to happen and all this and that. And then when they got back there, they found out, yes, there's nothing back there. And they became very empty. And they got to the point where they saw that unless we get out of here, we won't be able to walk out of here because they were so empty. Now they made firewood. They had were camped beside a river there, and they made firewood, you know, and they had warmth. At least one side of their body had warmth. The other side was about froze. But, you know, and then find out that the wooden didn't last, and they found themselves out at midnight chopping wood, trying to get enough wood on the fire till daybreak. Because they saw that if we let the fire go out, you know, we'll really be in a bad situation. And then the next morning, you know, they were going hunting and being so hungry and finding nothing but a couple of little birds, a blue jay or two and a sparrow, whatever, and try to roast that over the fire. And being so hungry, they finally got to the word and decided we're going to have to get out of here while we still can. And then in going out there, they lost the trail. They wanted to take a shortcut because to save energy and going over hills and rocks and whatever all and losing the trail. And you know, one of them said, bless his heart, we had better just swallow our pride and have a little prayer meeting here. And that's what they did. And 10 minutes after that, they found the trail by doing something a little different. Going a little different direction. They found the trail. And how much better that felt when they finally found the trail that was going to lead to good food and a good night's rest at a hotel or whatever. Now, the next day they loaded up with food and went back in there. And then they said it went fairly good. But you know, the picture of not having food and you know, having to work so hard to make their wood with just hatches and axes. And by the way, they said by the time it was all done, every axe and hatchet they had was broken. So they went somewhere and they got a saw where one could get on either end of the saw and make some time making some wood. But that's what we do when we become so empty and we wanna see what we can do with our own strength. God has a way of bringing us to the point where we know that we really need to rely on the Word of God and on Him for our strength and our sustenance. That was a good lesson. But it is a picture of somebody like Bill Nye, who without Jesus Christ is going to come up empty-handed at the judgment day unless he can somehow accept the light of God to shine through. And Bill Nye is not the only one. There are many, 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 millions. That's why we need to be active and speaking to people and working for, you know, be as clouds and emptying out of the water of life. Seeing where we can make a difference. It makes me think of a song that we used to sing a lot when I was young. It's let's turn to it. It's page 856. This was written, I take it, by a man who was coming to the end of his life, and he felt so empty because of having lost all the time in witnessing to other people. And he was saying, must I go and empty-handed? 856. Must I go and empty-handed? one verse of like the woman at the well. Like the woman at the well. Like to sing four verses of Just As I Am on page 228. I'd like to sing it with a different tune. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but now I see. Fill up my cup. can't forget that song for a little while. But you know, if you've got an empty life, what are you waiting for? What are we waiting for? The amazing grace is here to fill our cups. Jesus loves us. So if you're living an empty life, that is a complete waste. There is no need. In Malachi, I'll have to just cut out quite a bit of a message here. But in Malachi, in chapter 3, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Let's kneel to pray.